It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, President Trump just returned to the U.S. following a summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. We'll learn about their negotiations and why some are calling the meeting a failure. First, it's Food Friday, and we're talking about how to cook with some of Wisconsin's best cheeses. There are hundreds of award-winning cheeses made here in the state that are great to eat on their own, but they can also be worked into some of our favorite dishes. From appetizers to desserts, cheese can be one of the kitchen's most versatile and effective ingredients. Christine Hansen is a freelance writer covering food, art, and travel. She's the author of The Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook, which comes out today. She joins us now from our Milwaukee studio. Christine, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Christine, in addition to the recipes, which we'll get to, you got to visit a bunch of cheesemakers around the state. Talk about some of your experience doing that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a city girl here in Milwaukee, but I love, you know, nature and the countryside. So it was a really great opportunity a year ago to travel around the state and meet these farmers and spend time with cows and goats and, of course, eat cheese.
And Wisconsin, I think we could say we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to good cheese and lots of variety of cheese. Can you talk about just the diversity that we have to work with?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people, especially outside of Wisconsin, equate us with cheddar, which of course we do very well and we love and we consume in great quantities. But really, there's not a cheese that we don't make here that I can think about in terms of all the common ones. There's blue cheese, mascarpone, burrata, mozzarella, you name it, we have it here.
And you also visited some restaurants and talked to restaurant chefs who are coming up with creative ways to use cheese. Is this an ingredient they get excited about?
Absolutely. I mean, we know already that we're in this farm-to-table movement. It's almost, you know, expected that a restaurant would be sourcing locally, and cheese falls right into that category. And there's so many great examples. Here in Milwaukee, we've got Dave Swanson with Braze, who's always been a proponent of sourcing locally. And for him, he's actually getting the cheese from a few blocks away at Clock Shadow Creamery. I mean, you can't really get much closer than that.
Before we get to actually cooking with cheese, obviously one great way to eat cheese is to cut it up and, you know, eat it. You look at some great pairings for cheese and other stuff on a board. Can you talk about some of your favorite pairings of Wisconsin cheeses and other stuff?
Sure. Well, gosh, there's so many. I'm not sure how much time we have to talk today. but I do talk in my book about this philosophy that you see in Europe, especially where you're pairing beverages, whether that's wine, beer, spirits, anything else you drink, with cheese from that region. And the reason is that the terroir, which is the French term for the soil, is shared with those products. So you're going to find some commonalities between those two. So in my book, I talk a little bit about, you know, one example could be, you know, Door County Creamery, which is in Door County, perhaps eating with a Wisconsin wine that comes from that area as well.
Talking to Christine Hansen, her brand new book is The Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook. We've got a few of her recipes she shared with us over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's get into one of those recipes now. Here's one, Tallgrass Reserve Grits with Greens. First of all, Tallgrass Reserve with Grits and Greens. Before we hear about the recipe, can you talk about the cheese you're using in this one?
Sure. That cheese is from Landmark Creamery in Paoli, which is a very artisan, very small creamery, although you can find their cheeses in Madison at Fermagination. I know they carry it. And also in Delafield, Restaurant ID, I'm told, has it on their cheese plate. But yeah, so two women named Anna own and operate this creamery. And that recipe is really interesting because I don't think we think about grits a lot in our diet up here, being Northerners, right? We forget how awesome they are. And in that recipe, it's just really, really a great ingredient.
And how does this come together? Grits, this Landmark Creamery cheese, and the greens.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it could be a breakfast dish. It could be, I mean, we can have eggs, which is a breakfast dish any time of the day, right? But traditionally, grits are more of a breakfast food. And that's one thing I really thought about with this book is that we already know about mac and cheese and pizza and grilled cheese, which are awesome, don't get me wrong. But I really wanted to showcase the variety of dishes that you can make with cheese, and that includes breakfast.
Oh, let's not knock the mac and cheese. You do have a recipe for it that, you know, takes it up to another level. What kind of cheese are, and a lot of people are doing fancy mac and cheeses around the state. Macs and cheese? I don't know. Which cheese do you put into your recipe?
Well, in the book, I have a couple. I have the Supreme Mac and Cheese from Carr Valley and another, which I'm blanking on right now. The Tuscan Mac and Cheese, which is, you know, kind of different from Tuscany, right? Inspired by that. What do I like to put in my mac and cheese? I really think for me, it has to have cheddar. But that doesn't mean that I won't put another cheese in, because I think it can be really fun to think about dishes that have not just one cheese, but two or three.
And is there kind of a meltability factor that comes into it? Some cheeses work better in a melty product like a mac and cheese or a pizza or wherever you want that to get good and melty and spread out.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about fondue, for example, I mean, you definitely want it to be melted. You wouldn't want to have a lumpy product. So goat cheese, for example, is not really going to work in that type of dish. Goat cheese, I do see in mac and cheese quite a bit, but it's usually got another cheese in there that has, you know, kind of a better melting quality.
Staying on the pasta and cheese theme, here's another recipe you shared with us. It's up at WPR.org/Food Friday. It features a Yellow Door creamery cheese. The recipe is baked gnocchi with pumpkin and fontina. This looks fantastic. First, talk about the cheese choice, the one you chose from Yellow Door.
Sure. So Yellow Door Creamery is a newer creamery here in Wisconsin, and it's up in the northwest part of the state. Owner of the company, interestingly, is an Italian cheese importer out in New Jersey. So they obviously, you know, heard about Wisconsin milk being amazing and decided to have a plant up in Turtle Lake. The cheesemaker is from the French Alps, so very legit. That particular recipe, it uses a creamery's Tuscan rubbed fontina. And I like that because a lot of times you see the rubbed cheeses on a cheese board, but we don't necessarily think about taking it one step further and using it in a dish, just like you might have cheese and a spice. Well, in this case, they're together.
And this has pumpkin in it as the base of the sauce instead of like a tomato or a cream sauce.
Exactly. So when I think of that recipe, I really think about the harvest, the fall, right? We have a lot of pumpkin products during that time, and this is a great example.
I still have some pumpkin in my freezer, I know, from back in the fall. And I gotta say, one thing I tend not to do with pumpkin is anything that involves cheese. How does pumpkin combine? How does it pair with cheese? Pretty good?
Pretty good. I mean, they're both, pretty earthy products, so I think it's a fabulous pairing. I suppose what you could do as well is have a pumpkin beer with the cheese, because here in Wisconsin, we have a lot of pumpkin beers, right, in the fall. So that might be one way you could kind of play around with that flavor pairing a little bit.
We're talking to Christine Hansen right now. She's the author of the new book, The Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook. And you can join this Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite Wisconsin cheese to cook or bake with or just to eat? If so, what do you pair that with? Do you have favorite recipes that use cheese, especially cheese made here in the state? Have you found ways to be creative in cooking with various kinds of cheese in the kitchen? Or if you have a question for our guest of great cheeses to use from around the state and what to use them in, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and check out a few recipes from Christine at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday conversation now with Christine Hansen, author of the Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook. That's available starting today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite cheese-inclusive recipe that you love to cook again and again? What's your favorite kind of cheese to cook with? especially if it's a Wisconsin cheese. How do you incorporate it into your cooking or baking? Or do you have a question for a guest about how to do that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Louise is with us in Dodgeville. Louise, hello.
Hi. I wanted to get your guest feedback on if she's ever cooked with Rush Creek Reserve from Upland Creamery. It's a fall release. It's a soft cheese made from raw milk, and it's delightful. I mean, I just eat it, you know, warmed up with a good baguette, but if she's ever done anything with it, cooking-wise.
Louise, thanks for the call. We've got a lot of cheesemakers. Upland Creamery. Have you encountered that, Christine?
Yes, I'm familiar with the creamery, and I profile the creamery in the book. Andy Hatch is the cheesemaker. To be honest, I think that cheese is so good that I haven't cooked with it. I've just eaten it. I've sliced it on a cheese board. But I'd like to say and also clarify, the recipes in the book actually aren't my recipes. They are from the creameries.
Oh, the creameries provided themselves. I didn't catch on to that.
Exactly. And sometimes that message gets lost. I think we get so focused on Wisconsin cheese, like we can't see anything else, right? We're just like blinded. So they actually provided a recipe in the cookbook, which I would encourage you to play around with. It's with fingerling potatoes. And so that might answer your question.
Yeah, and a thing with a lot of these recipes, Christine, is that a lot of them are pretty simple. There's not a zillion ingredients, I guess because the cheese is giving a lot of the flavor to begin with.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think if we're given a choice when we're making dinner or whatever, you know, easier is probably easier for most people. I mean, sometimes it's fun to spend half a day cooking, but I really wanted to have recipes in here that were quite easy. I even have some that have three ingredients, with cheese, of course, being one.
Thanks for that call, Louise, at 800-642-1234 as we talk about cooking with cheese. Let's get into dessert. Now, there's a recipe, a brownie recipe we'll get into in a bit, but one tip in one of these recipes that I hadn't thought of, you know, apples and cheese, I know, go really well together. I think you had an apple pie with cheese in the crust. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yes, and that recipe is so special. It's from Carr Valley. They provided the recipe. It's actually Sid Cook's mother, who's 101 years old. So it's her recipe. It's an apple pie in a sharp cheddar crust. And that's an example of like two really good pairings, apples and cheddar. They go wonderfully together.
Now let's talk about cooking with cheddar, really common cheese, but there's a lot of options out there from mild to aged, a huge difference in flavor and the amount of flavor. How do we calibrate the right age and intensity of cheddar in different kinds of recipes?
Well, I think it's similar to what you would choose to eat raw, right? You know, what, like for me, my sort of aged cheddar sweet spot is 3 to 4 aged. For me, if it gets a little too, you know, 10, 12, I don't personally care for the crystals in there. The 1 and 2 year age is too mild. So first, people should think about what flavors they like in the product by itself. And then you can kind of take it from there. I mean, the good news is that I don't see a huge difference in the different years that a cheese is aged and how it might perform in the recipe. The difference is going to be in the taste.
Christine Hansen is with us on Food Friday. Her new book is The Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook. Still time for you to join in. If you like to cook with cheese, tell us what your favorite cheese-based recipe is, what kind of cheese you like to cook with. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Okay, Christine, I promised people some brownies here. This is another one of the recipes that you passed along to us. This is, I don't know about this one. You're going to have to sell me, I think. Goat cheese brownies. Help me out here.
Yeah, now that's an example. If I was in your Madison studio today, I would have brought you a pan. I promise.
Let's book you again right now. No, okay. Tell us about this goat cheese brownie.
Okay. So the goat cheese brownies is a recipe that's provided by La Claire Family Creamery up in Malone. That's an example of a farmstead creamery where the animals, in this case the goats, supplying the milk, live on the property. And honestly, I don't think it gets any fresher than that. So these goat cheese brownies, the family provided to me. And the ingredients are, of course, goat cheese, as well as, you know, cocoa powder, semi-sweet chocolate, butter, and more butter, and heavy cream. But yeah, I mean, they're just really delicious. And it's an example of, you know, sometimes we need to think a little broader in terms of ingredients. I've certainly heard a lot of chefs say that goat cheese can be a substitute for other products. I mean, when you think about, I like to bake cheesecakes, and for a while I went through a pretty serious in-depth study of baking cheesecakes. I just love them so much. And I found that there's so many dairy ingredients you can substitute, right? It doesn't always have to be cream cheese. You can use sour cream and mascarpone, which is a recipe I have in the book for cheesecake.
And I think of goat cheese as having like that really distinctive flavor. I like it, but kind of, I don't know, pungent. I don't know the words to describe it. That really works in a sweet dessert.
It really does. I mean, like anything, it's going to be in moderation. In this particular recipe, it's 4 ounces, which I believe is not much bigger than a small log that you would buy. And when you think about all the other ingredients in there, there's chocolate, butter, right? So there's a lot going on, and you almost need that goat cheese, the fat and the acidity to stand up to those other ingredients.
Let's bring on another caller now. Herb is with us in Mequon. Herb, hello.
Oh, good afternoon. Say, you know, what I really crave, and right now thinking about it, is a good old-fashioned Milwaukee-style cheesecake. And it's not made with cream cheese. It's made with baker's cheese, which I can't find in the store now anymore. So is it possible to make baker's cheese at home, or what would a good substitute be for baker's cheese?
Baker's cheese. I'm not familiar with that, Christine.
I am not familiar with that either. I mean, I could take a few minutes and Google and get back to you. But yeah, I'm not familiar with that at all. That's really interesting. And you've given me something to look into and possibly write about. So thank you.
But give
I'm sorry,
Herb,
I don't
oh, that's okay. But give Herb some ideas of what he might do that would be available in stores. In your experiences with Wisconsin cheeses, what have made some good cheesecakes?
Sure. Well, like I said, you know, the traditional recipe has always been cream cheese. In fact, on the Philly cream cheese box, there's a recipe right there, right? But, you know, what you could think about doing is using mascarpone. That's certainly a good ingredient. It has that sweet note to it. Blue cheese cheesecake is something else to think about if you wanted more of a savory. Obviously, you wouldn't want to use too much of the blue cheese because that can be pretty sharp and acidic. And I think, you know, some people love blue cheese. Other people find it a little too heavy. But those are some alternatives I would encourage you to look into. Belgiosio up in Green Bay, they have mascarpone. I believe they produce that. It's hard for me to remember. Some of these cheesemakers literally have hundreds of products each. But that could be a good supplier for you.
Herb, good luck. Hope that helps you out. Hey, let's go to one of the basics, Christine. You can make grilled cheese with a zillion kinds of cheeses, and I guess breads too. What are some of your favorite ways to go with a grilled cheese?
Sure. I really love blue cheese and a grilled cheese sandwich. And one of the dishes I look forward to every August and September when the fresh figs are in season, which if you're a fan like I am, you know that you gotta take them when you see them at the store. They literally sell out. I like to slice some fresh figs and have blue cheese as the ingredient in that grilled cheese sandwich. I also like to use different types of bread. I find that challah bread is really good, as well as Texas toast, those thicker breads, especially if you have a lot of butter on that. They really make all the difference.
We got an email from Grant. Grant says that Bluemont Dairy from Blue Mounds sells a fantastic aged Havarti. He says he likes to use his Uplands Pleasant Ridge cheese with his country sourdough bread with toasted sesame seeds. Yeah, talk a little bit about Havartis, aged Havarti. I mean, I like Havarti in general. Do you have good ideas for cooking, Christine, with Havartis?
That's a great question, because what I found in researching this book is that we have quite a few Havarti producers in Wisconsin, way more than I thought, because I have to admit it's not my favorite cheese, but doesn't mean that I don't like it. I just don't know. I'm not always attracted to it initially. But Havarti is a really good cheese to have in a sandwich. And I know that sounds basic, but as your emailer indicated, it works so well in a sandwich.
Right. Have you looked into cheese and bread pairings, as Grant was mentioning there? Do you have favorite combos of just, I'm going to slice some cheese, I'm going to slice some bread, boom, there's a snack?
I haven't found anything that doesn't work. So I think that's really encouraging. And, you know, no matter where you are in the state right now, there's so many artisan bread producers, and that can be a fun way to see what they're baking and what's going on, and sort of, you know, using that bread in a really raw way, not cooking with it, but just slicing it on your board, having some cheese, creating a cheese plate at home. I've just been really impressed with what I found as well in the bread industry here in Wisconsin.
And Christine, based on your research for the book, is there an entree or appetizer or whatever that's kind of made it into your regular rotation after all this work you've done on the book?
That's a great question. I have not had a chance to try every recipe in this book because I just haven't had the time. But I have to say, you know, I recently made the Supreme Mac and Cheese, which is from Carr Valley, and brought it to my book club. I'm part of a book club that also we try to read books that have a culinary focus that we can draw from. And that was a pretty big hit. Supreme Mac and Cheese, just like it sounds, it's very cheesy and got a lot going on. And that particular recipe also had some dried mustard, which I had not used at home when I would make mac and cheese from scratch. So I thought that was really interesting.
And the book club loved it?
Yeah, they did. They said they did.
All right. Christine, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
That's Christine Hansen. Her new book is The Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook that is out now today. She'll be speaking at Fermagination in Madison on Saturday, March 9th at 1 p.m. along with Anna Thomas Bates of Landmark Creamery. Get those recipes, by the way. She shared three of them from different cheesemakers around the state. You can find those all at WPR.org/Food Friday.